live from the List Track Recording Studio. This is Email Marketing Today. Here are your hosts, Ross, Matt, and Brent.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 17 of Email Marketing Today. I'm Brent Schroyer, and with me here in the studio is Ross Kramer. Hey, Ross.
Hey, Brent.
And filling in for Matt today, we have Brandon Brophy back in the studio. How's it going, Brandon?
Good, Brent. How you doing?
Doing pretty good here. I know, Brandon, you wanted to talk about something here. You got in on a pretty good Twitter discussion here today.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. Chad White happened to post on his Twitter account a comment about personalization tags and ways that they can go wrong, and just said there was nothing that made him feel quite less valued than having someone refer to him as dear valued subscriber. And I said back to him, I know it was rhetorical and all, but nonetheless, what about like a dear space comma, because I didn't have my name entered and the person forgot to put in a default for the profiling tag, for example.
That's right. I saw a couple other people came back with some reactions as far as, you know, using the wrong tags, you know, $ first name, $ last name, and ooh, having that show up, or ouch, dear name, you know. So, yeah, it's just one of those things you have to be extremely careful of.
HP still refers to me as dear Allison.
Nice.
This is my sister's
name. Sister.
That's when household email append matches go wrong. I think everything
whoops,
technically
one of
is
many
working
examples.
There. Household match was just wrong.
I also wanted to add, in ListTrack, there's a couple nice ways you can get around that snafu that I mentioned. When you're list importing and lining up your profile fields, it gives you the option to put in a default for somebody who doesn't have data. So you can put friend or not valued subscriber, as Chad would not like to hear. And if you don't do it there, you can always do it on your author page. When you're selecting the profile tag, you can actually use the advanced features to select a default and then fill that in with whatever you want. So
you could even go beyond that with some of the advanced profile filters by, if you don't have a value, to not show it. And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
That probably, I would feel, would be the best way to go, because any kind of generic wording, just it sounds generic.
Yeah, you try and avoid the mass mail feel as much as you can.
Right. So Ross, last week we talked about your Outlook downgrade. Can you give us an update here?
Well,
today?
I'm on week number 3. I'm doing pretty good, I guess. And I did find a workaround to my rules problem.
Really? Do tell.
Yeah, I got, well, as you know, I was talking about, I got like 30 rules, and then Outlook comes back and says you can't have any more rules.
Like,
yeah, it's always nice too, because they don't actually give you a number. It's size based.
32K, Brophy.
Oh, there you go.
32 rules. However many rules you can fit into right. 32 kilobytes. anyway. So I found this utility from a company called Automate, or the product is called Automate. And now I am just creating rules like crazy. So I've stopped unsubscribing, which is good news for all of the marketers who have signed up that may be listening in. You know, I'm not abandoning you. I've got my rules set up, and I'm squirreling away all of your individual mailings into my research folder, so I can look back and analyze your subject lines and your pre-headers and your offers and all that good stuff to help our own clients out. So good news there. I've got my Outlook squared away.
What you could have really used there, some kind of automated product to take your old filters and bring them over, migrate them over for you.
Yes, that would have been really helpful.
I'm sure it's been taking you a lot of time.
Large sucking sound. sucking my time away, recreating these rules. But yeah, so it goes. So I'm doing good. The laptop is still, you know, rocking and rolling pretty good. So I appreciate you checking in on my email health.
And anything new there with any of the unsubscribe emails coming through? Anything more there? Anyone trying to win you back or anything like that? Anything else you've seen?
Okay. No, not that. Nothing out of the norm. Nothing out of the norm this week. It's actually a pretty slow week. It was an early week because we had Memorial Day weekend on Monday. So, you know, sort of a short week,
I guess. It's probably one of the reasons that we came in here and we're thinking, yeah, what are we going to talk about
What's
here today?
The topic?
It is Thursday.
Yeah, so yeah, everything's going well. There are account managers. We've got a little project happening there. Speaking of like win backs and stuff like that, we've got a shopping cart abandonment program happening. This is kind of, well, for the small minority of folks that listen into our podcast, this is sort of an exclusive thing because I guess we've got some research that's coming out based on this.
Sure, hope so. As soon as we get the rest of them done, we'll be plowing through the numbers to get us some neat stats that we will be more than happy to share with everybody.
And Brent, I don't know if you're fully tuned into this, but we're abandoning 300 carts
at least. Hopefully, we can just keep going. But 300 is the number I gave them before I consider it statistically significant.
I know Carrie talked about this a couple weeks ago on the podcast, but I haven't heard any updates.
Yeah, so it's marching along. I don't know. We've got a bunch more to go, but the far majority of marketers not doing anything after the abandoned cart,
and a surprisingly low percentage are even doing welcomes.
Yeah,
because we're kind of half tracking that alongside. It wasn't originally laid out in the plan. We were thinking all abandoned carts and, you know, 100 carts, and we're like, we really should have tracked welcomes. So anybody who saved them, we started marking those down. It won't be a true study, but nonetheless, just an observation there from sitting there getting them. It's sad.
Yeah, Ed Henrik, one of our colleagues over at Responsys, had a nice article in ClickZ today about some work that they did for a client, and the welcome series that they did performed, I think it performed best of all of the different abandonments and win back and different stuff that they were doing. It was a coupon, had a coupon offer, and I think there were some subsequent reminders happening there. So whereas cart abandonment is kind of like, ooh, ah, it had a low volume. It's kind of a low volume thing, although the engagement was really high. I can't really remember the numbers, but it had a high multiplier over the average open rate. But it's kind of a low percentage shot, so to speak, or a shot that you don't get to take very often. The cool thing about cart abandonment is it's a set it and forget it type of thing. So whereas you're not going to, you know, you're not going to make a ton of money off of your cart, you know, abandonment program right away. But over time, you know, it can make up for one campaign, two campaigns, yeah. Three campaigns. Yeah. So, you know, if you've got a bi-weekly, you know, type of thing happening where you've got, you know, 24 to 30 campaigns, you can get that pushing more like looking like 35 campaigns per year with your cart abandonment program. But Brandon, you'll be analyzing all sorts of stuff like did they include an offer? Did they include the products that are in the cart?
Yep. And hopefully one of the things we tried to keep constant was making sure we actually registered at the site. So I'll also be doing tracking on like personalization and other little things that we preach all the time.
Right on. Right on. Good stuff.
Something else interesting I saw today, another colleague of ours in the industry, Dylan Boyd at EROI, did a post on an email came through from Urban Daddy, and they took a concept that's really been popular in the video game world, and it's this idea of achievements and badges. So there's this, so with Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3, you play games and you get to certain points in the games or you achieve certain levels and you get a badge or you get points, and this all adds up, and this is kind of big system, and it's kind of been proven to be this just a real plus to any kind of social network. A lot of message boards have also adopted this kind of badge system. You know, the more posts you put out there, the more points you have, your badge, you're now a gold level member or something like that.
LinkedIn's doing that, I believe.
Yeah.
Questions answered and
right.
Voted favorite.
And, you know, it's funny because it's just this virtual thing, but it
matters.
Yeah,
to some
it does.
People.
You know, it's like a geek cred is kind of, you know, I don't know. But
are we doing that in email now?
Well, yeah, that's Dylan pointed to this email from Urban Daddy where they actually had a badge, and it was just based on the activity that they've had with Urban Daddy. It was kind of neat to
like message that you've opened 57 out of 232 of our emails and you get a green star.
An engagement metric for the consumer, huh?
So the badge was basically based on profiling information and actually pulled out what they're showing here is available perks they're kind of showing based on your past data, but they kind of show it in a badge style with a point next to it. So kind of going in that, you know, going in that direction.
That could be interesting that you give out award points or something like that if you're an e-retailer for messages opened and read. Who are those guys that you used to make like $4 a year off of, Brent?
Back my in the points, old days? And I still do. I click on my My Points emails to thank you, My Points, for the many, many gift certificates that I've obtained over time. For those simple clicks, but yeah.
So sort of a similar type of thing. Now, did My Points ever put your points in the emails that they sent to you?
They did. They actually had a nice header that showed how many points you're up to and, you know, click link to link back and use your points.
Are they still in business?
Yeah.
How about that? Yep. They were like an original like web 1.0 company, like new economy type of thing. We get paid by clicking on links.
Yep.
Pioneers, so, and
I think
Google really then,
right?
Mastered.
I think one of the things with My Points, and I'm an example of this, is a lot of times because it's kind of across the board, every single email, various different businesses that are sending through My Points, you're getting the same points for each one. You're basically clicking and closing, clicking and closing, clicking and closing. Basically, you know, not even really looking, at least in my case, many times, not even
cheating
looking
the
at the offer.
Cheating
just,
the
you know,
system.
Brent, if your My Points account is shut down next week, we'll know why.
Oh, man. But I guess my point is that, you know, used in a case where it's really tied into your brand specifically, rather not, you know, spread out over multiple brands, but I think
sure.
that it could be a much bigger draw.
Sure. Yeah, you could definitely tie that. I mean, that would be a fun thing to do in email if you had the right type of engagement thing happening on your web properties.
Yeah, and
destination web.
I think it's another one of those kind of bringing the social aspect into email, and you know that's one thing we've talked about. You know, we've had a number of webinars on social and things going on in the Twitter world and Facebook and things like that. But it's, you know, that it's the cross channel and making use of both the email marketing channel and the social channels and bringing them together. And I think that's probably a really cool way to do that.
Well, Brandon, as we were walking in, you were making mention of a bit of a social email that one of your colleagues, Joe Devine, here in the office, got earlier today.
Yeah, actually, he gets monthly emails, I guess, from the PA Renaissance Fair. You know, the guys dressed up like knights fighting dragons.
Lightning bolt.
Lightning
bolt.
And he said in the header, the pre-header, I'm sorry, was almost like an engagement, a re-engagement click available that just said, like our emails, click here. And you clicked it and it was just like a thank you for, thanks for checking out our email splash page. And they were using that. You know, you could, or I should say, you could use something like that as almost a thumbs up, thumbs down, a way to engage your recipients and see what they think of your email. You know, ask them, do you like this content? Ask them, do you like the actual email? You could ask all sorts of questions, and it would almost work kind of like a survey just off click data.
A reverse report spam type of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I know we had done some brainstorming earlier, and this is kind of goes into like a wisdom of the crowds, collective intelligence type of thing. But I had thought of building some type of an on-the-fly engine that you would have to be sort of a newsletter publisher or something like that that published a lot of different news articles or something like that. But based upon links that other people clicked, you would serve up content really based upon similar profiles of users or matching behavioral types.
Right, a lot like, you know, the store, you bought this, you'd also like this.
Yeah, yeah, that's because, neat. I mean, the data's so actionable, you'd probably have to serve it up in an image format or something like that, or on the fly, you'd have to, you know, on message send, you'd have to be compiling that type of stuff to serve it up, but surely possible. Surely possible, not beyond.
Yeah, that's a really cool idea.
Neat stuff.
Not beyond the norm. Well, one more podcast almost in the can here, guys, which means we're 1 week closer to event-triggered messaging.
Oh, boy. That's right. It's looking really nice, too. I was actually working with Megan here today a little bit on a presentation, you know, that you know, if you are a ListTrack client and you'd be interested in seeing what's coming, it's something that we may be able to show some clients here in the next few weeks just to get you really excited about what's going to be available here in the very near future.
It's looking really, really good. including heat maps. I'll put that out there. Including heat maps.
Yeah, that is a really cool visual view on the reporting there.
Yeah. If anyway, we'll stop there. We won't go much further than that. So a couple of news items for anything coming up here, Brent, podcasts, webinars. Obviously, this is the podcast. The podcast happens every Thursday at 4:30.
Yeah, we have another webinar from Stefan Tornquist from Marketing Sherpa coming up next week, June 3rd, from 1 to 2.
Triggered messages.
This is on triggered email. Again, if you want to tune into that podcast, if you want to tune into that webinar, again, the arrangement we have with Marketing Sherpa, we're not able to record the series of webinars. So be sure to tune in, sign up, register, and be there for that webinar.
The link's out on our website, easily accessible there. And then we've got a few more webinars throughout the summer. That's really good. I know Mark Brownlow is going to be on one.
Yep, that one's June 17th.
So that's coming right up as well.
And if you want to get in and register for that one already, you can do that as well on the website.
Right on.
All right. Well, we're at the end of our time here today. Thanks, guys, for joining me here in the studio.
You got it, Brent.
And thank you all for tuning in here week to week. We'll talk to you next week.
See you next week.
Take care.